We have to get on our own resources in America. If we do, we can cut out 60% of OPEC oil.
Oil, natural gas, wind, water, solar, nuclear. Industries of energy.
We've got fantastic opportunities to use new technologies to secure the American people and at the same time be better stewards of the environment.
You have questions, we have answers.
Listen carefully.
You can't really be against hydrofracking and say you're an environmentalist because immediately the default options are fuels that are much less clean.
For the next hour, Sean Wilson and Butch Black explore the energy industry with news and interviews from around the corner and around the globe.
Nuclear is one of the directions that we should innovate in.
The Exploring Energy Show begins now.
And a very, very good Monday morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Wilson, Butch Black, thank you for being with us today. Here is what's on the menu at Elk City Meals on Wheels. They're located at 1510 West 9th Street here in Elk City. You can call in your order, 225-5821. Their dining room hours are open from 11 to 1. Regular meals, $6. That includes your meal, your dessert, your drink. Senior citizens, just $5. Everyone is welcome. On this 18th, it's taco soup, cheese, sour cream salad, also tortilla chips, and cinnamon roll. So taco soup, cheese, also sour cream salad, and tortilla chips, cinnamon roll. That's what's going on today at Elk City Meals on Wheels. I don't know if you heard earlier on the early morning show, but some representatives from the Cheyenne Arapaho Old Settler Celebration were in the house. That all starts tomorrow, and then it runs all the way through Saturday. Just some of the highlights here. They got the quilt show at the Baptist Church, historic cavalry flag raising flagpole west of the Veterans Memorial, outdoor arts and crafts show, historic tent city, huge parade crowning the Cheyenne Arapaho Old Settlers Queen, free barbecue sponsored by Security State Bank. All these can be found when and where is going to be in Cheyenne, but that's at different locations in Cheyenne. I had a full listing of those in the Penny News this week. Get that before Wednesday because the new copy comes out. But it's this week, Cheyenne Arapaho Old Settler Celebration happening all week up in Cheyenne. All right, Butch Black, you had a good Easter weekend, I assume.
Yeah, it was busy.
Busy, good. That minute flew by.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like it took forever.
You got any good news for us over there this morning?
Well, depends on what you consider good news.
That is. That's it.
WTI crude on the NYMEX May exchange is up 30 cents to 107.25.
Wow.
Brent crude on the ICE June exchange is up 45 cents to 112.15. NYMEX natural gas on the May exchange is up 28 cents to $7.58. RBOB gasoline on the NYMEX May exchange is down $1.06 to $3.3708, and NYMEX heating oil is down $3.65 to $3.8183.
Mm.
So it just depends on whether you're investing
or ingesting.
Or ingesting on whether you've got good news or not.
Well, the rotary rig count from Baker Hughes is in for last week, up 4 from 689 to 693. Give you an idea, that's 254 more rigs in the United States right now than there was 1 year ago at this very same time. Of those, 548 drilling for oil, 143 drilling for gas. There are two geothermal wells that have cropped up on the radar as well. Of those 693 being serviced by Baker Hughes on their rig count, 636 are being drilled horizontally, 32 directionally drilled wells, and 25 vertically drilled wells. Here's your state-by-state variances. Alaska gained 1 from 7 to 8 active drilling rigs. California and the Baker Hughes rig count stayed steady at 7. Colorado also with 15 active drilling rigs. Kansas, they show 1 on the Baker Hughes list, but it shows that they're up 3 on the overall list. So, out of Kansas. Louisiana, they lost 1 from 57 down to 56. New Mexico, 96
a week ago, lost one down to 95 this week. North Dakota stayed steady at 33 active drilling rigs. Ohio also unchanged with 12. Oklahoma gained one from 50 to 51. Now we're over a half a hundred. Pennsylvania lost two from 25 to 23. Texas gained four from 342 to 346 active drilling rigs. Utah also has 13 like they did a week ago. West Virginia saw an increase of two from 12 to 14 active drilling rigs on the Baker Hughes rig count. And Wyoming stayed steady at 16. I don't know if I gave you the number on Kansas, but Kansas, I believe, was 46 a week ago, 49 in Kansas this week. So 334 of them being drilled in the Permian. That's the biggie, no doubt about it. Next one closest is the Haynesville with 67. Right behind them, the Eagleford has 60 in that play. You got to go all the way down to 37 in the Marcellus, 34 in the Williston, 26 in the Cana Woodford, 15 in the DJ Niobrara, 12 in the Utica. Granite Wash has 4. Everything else down in round 1 or 2. So that is your Baker Hughes rig count here on this Monday morning. We're slated to have Chairperson Commissioner Dana Murphy with the Oklahoma Corporation Commission going to be joining us in the next segment. Looking forward to that.
Well, unfortunately, we start the day off with a tanker carrying 750 tons of diesel from Egypt to Malta, sank Saturday off Tunisia's southeast coast. But there is a possibility of avoiding a large spill.
Oh.
The tanker in question, named Zilo, sought shelter in Tunisian waters from bad weather before going down the Gulf of Gabes. Environment Minister Leila Chikawi said that the situation was under control. She added that she was leaving to Gabes to evaluate the situation and take necessary preventative decisions in coordination with the regional authorities. Also, the spokesman for a court in Gabes, Mohammed Kerry, said these are minimal leaks, which are not even visible to the naked eye. Unfortunately, the oil is evaporating, so there should not be a disaster in the Gulf of Gabes. I hate to tell you this, oil doesn't evaporate very well. The Tunisian Environment Ministry said that the 63-yard long and 9.8-yard wide tanker began taking water around 4 miles offshore in the Gulf of Gabes and that the engine room was engulfed. It said that Tunisian authorities evacuated the 7-member crew. The Georgian captain, 4 Turks, and 2 Azerbaijanis were briefly hospitalized for checks and were later moved to a hotel. Furthermore, authorities activated the National Emergency Plan for the Prevention of Marine Pollution in the aim of bringing the situation under control and avoiding the spread of pollutants. They went on to say that they had another incident in 2018 out there, but this one was a anchored ship 20 miles off the offshore, and another one ran into it.
What are the odds?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, were you aiming for that point? That's a big old, you know, pond out there, and for you to hit another
one. Maybe Sandra Bullock was on that other one. They like to drive ships into ships.
It could be.
Anyway, what we're going to do is going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Dana Murphy, chairwoman of the Oklahoma Corporation Commission, with us here on the Monday edition of the Exploring Energy Radio Show. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Stay informed with the latest news from the energy industry with Sean and Butch on the Exploring Energy Show.
New message.
Hey, man, it's Devin, you know, from that time you accidentally emailed me because you thought I was a different Devin. Oh, and your email signature said confidential. If you received this in error, please delete. That's so you. Anyway, I heard you bought a boat. When are we setting sail, Captain?
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Oh, and no, you did not receive this message in error.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, a tractor, combine, gets him up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in, we'll build it. You're an oil field customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. If we're competitive on price, we say we'll bring it to you, we'll do whatever it takes to get it to you, make life easier on you, or you can call us to solve a problem. Hey, can you get this? Why wouldn't you? My company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
Start something new in 2022. It's a brand new year and time for a brand new ride from Doug Gray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Elk City. Come in now during our Start Something New event and find yourself a new Chrysler Pacifica. Fun for the entire family. Dodge Durango, Jeep, an entire line of adventure. Or a new Ram, the number one brand in new vehicle quality. See us today at Doug Gray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Elk City. Exit 40, I-40. And online at DougGrayAutoGroup.com.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
And yes, American Hose and Supply. When you need a hose or fittings, you don't need it next week. You need it now. If you're a farmer or, hold on, just, yeah, I think so. There we go. If you're a farmer and your combine's down, you're not making money. If you're in the oil field and the hose is stopping production, you're not making money. When you need it now, contact American Hose and Supply. It's located inside Camrock on South Main Street in Elk City, next to Fred's Steakhouse, where you can call 580-821-4413. 580-821-4413. Let's see if we'll do this right here. Do this right here. And I think that will have that. Okay.
Bear with Sean. He gets.
I think we have Dana Murphy on there. Yeah. So are Sustaining Oklahoma's Energy Resources. Their upcoming educational opportunities are this week, as they've got the Chemicals 101, April the 21st. Join Sower, learn how chemical applications work and how they can benefit your marginal wells. Only costs $15 to be in attendance of this from 11 to 12 on the 21st at 500 Northeast 4th Street in Oklahoma City. That's Sower, Sustaining Oklahoma's Energy Resources. Also, you can download the free Sower Connect app for your Android or iOS iPhone operating system. So any of that is good. Receive notifications. Also, ability to submit questions, seeking advice from other industry professionals. Quick and easy access to Sower's Lease Pumpers Handbook, with searchable filters and links. Anyway, Sower Connect's a native app. So get it today, Sower, S-O-E-R-O-K.com, or get the Sower Connect app. Let's see right here if I've done my due diligence.
Sounds kind of like a crow. If he sees something shiny, he has to into the...
I think we have Dana Murphy with us. Dana, are you there? Oops, it just didn't seem to work out. Yeah, we'll try it again here in a second, so... I'll turn it over to you, but you got anything? And then while we're reconnecting here with Dana Murphy, because she called in, I think I might have just pushed the wrong button.
Ah, so yeah, you are?
Yes, I am. Here we go. Hold on a second. Dana Murphy, are you there?
I am. It's kind of funny because I was just on, and my phone decided to do a reboot on its own.
That's how it works, sis. It's just law of averages.
Well, that's why they call
Murphy's Law.
They call it a smartphone because apparently it's smarter than I am, or at least it thinks it is.
Well, maybe it was seeking renewal itself. Like, we had renewal for Easter, but maybe it needed to
There you go. There you go. Just, yeah. And just one of those unplanned updates. I know how they are, no doubt about it. Like I said, Murphy's Law or Administrative Law Judge, Murphy's Law, however it works. Wow, you guys have been a little busy. Now, first of all, I'm going to ask you on the personal side, no wildfires that have breached y'all's property yet?
Don't say
no,
yet.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that won't be the case, but my nephew is on the volunteer fire department for May, Oklahoma, same as my brother that passed away. He was the fire chief, so he's kind of staying in our family. So my nephew, who helps at our farm and ranch, he's been on a lot of fires.
Yeah,
wow. Well, there's some big ones. There have been some pretty good-sized ones just around here. So we're trying to tell everybody, listen, we're still in a tinderbox. We need to be very cognizant of that and be aware, because the smallest spark can get her going, no doubt about it.
Yeah, totally. It's just, I think it's just been a, you know, there's good things that are happening, you know, trying to move out of the pandemic. But then you've got other challenges that, you know, they're different kind of challenges. You know, the issue with how things are affecting the energy world, you know, with the Ukrainian war and just how interconnected. I think people lose sight of the fact that we are connected to all people around all the world. And I try to remember that myself when I get a little bit too myopic in some of my own issues or at the commission, that there's a whole bigger component of all this. And it really helps me when, you know, they say sometimes one of the best things you can do when you're really caught up into something that's in front of you, whatever the issues are at the commission, is you can just kind of take more of a landscape view. And I mean that literally and figuratively.
Right.
I always find that really helps a lot.
And I agree with that. And I know that there are so many things going on right now, but of course, there are a few filings for your position after you are laying down the mantle, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think anybody that puts their name on the dotted line to run for office, you know, it's running for office. I think it's more challenging than ever. So I think it's a challenge to run for the office. And for this office in particular, there's just so many complexities that go with it. Because I remember when I first ran for office and people asked me what I thought the biggest challenge was. And I said, I think that the biggest challenge is going to be how complexities are going to continue to grow with the things that the commission has to deal with. And all you had to do is take a look at, you know, the proliferation of horizontal laterals, or you look at the proliferation of smart meters, transmission, wind power. It's just really on and on and on. And it's actually probably more complex and more issues than here. I mean, people think I was making some kind of prophetic statement, but I think it was really just looking at technology and changes in the world and how we do things. And I don't think it was prophetic. I think it just seemed to me like it was logical.
Right. And I just know that it's a situation to where you're danged if you do, danged if you don't, you know. But I'm just thrilled that there are people that are still willing to, you know, throw their name in, because I ran for school board. It wasn't on the level of what you're talking about, but it's all the same. I mean, you know, you find out, you know, when you ask people to vote for you, and then when you get in there, you think, man, now what? Well, now what? You gotta put your old shoulder to the grind wheel and learn, you know, try to get educated.
Yeah, I think if there was any piece of advice I would give to those running, because, you know, I was fortunate that, you know, I'd been an administrative law judge, and I have a law degree and a geology degree. And I think, you know, most everybody says, and I don't know that I say it about myself, but I'm probably the most qualified person that's ever run for the office. But I think the challenge now is, you know, this you really need to make sure you surround yourself, whoever's your immediate staff, with people that are incredibly knowledgeable and experienced. These aren't political positions, I think, that work for commissioners. I remember when I talked to Commissioner Hyatt about that, and I'd actually made a couple of recommendations for him for some legal aid, and it just happened to be the one I was, you know, thought was really talented. She came from the Attorney General's office. He hired her, and I remember when he just told me, I don't know, probably a month or so ago, he goes, you know, I didn't know when I came to this job, I thought I'd just, you know, hire somebody that worked for me at the speaker's office or something. And he said, I realize you gave me such a wise piece of advice. And he goes, it's worked out really well to have people that are knowledgeable about the law, the commission, because this job is incredibly challenging, and there's just so many aspects of it.
Wow.
There, you can't be an expert in all of it. You can learn your basics, and then you need to look and listen to people, and then you need to make, you know, kind of your independent decisions. But I think that, you know, collaboration, listening, being willing to, I have opinions, but I feel like I'm open to, if I learn new information, maybe I ought to adjust or change my opinion. I'm not afraid of that. I don't have any fear of that.
Yeah, that's like changing defenses whenever you can't shut the sweep down. I mean, you know, exactly the same thing. Okay, now I'm going to ask you one more question about this. We're visiting with the chairperson for the Oklahoma Corporation Commission, Dana Murphy, this morning, a friend of the show. Has anybody come to you and asked for the endorsement?
Oh, you know, people call me, but I don't think it's my place to help people make choices, help the voters make choices. I mean, if people want to call and ask me my opinion, I'm happy to share that with them. But, you know, I always look at it that sometimes people don't really care about my opinion, and I can respect it. And I look at it like, if you want to call me and have a discussion with me or ask about some things, I'm happy to do that. But I just feel like, I don't know, I have concerns about, we spend too much time thinking about who endorsed who. And I remember when I first ran, I couldn't get any endorsements. So I'm really thoughtful about that. I think everyone kind of has to find their way. But if somebody wants to call and ask my suggestions and thoughts, I mean, I feel comfortable. If I want to do that, I will. But I'm just going to trust the voters to stay informed, because there's so many elections now and so many choices. But I would say that the role of a corporation commissioner, it's probably one of the most economically important agencies in the state.
I agree.
Still, people don't understand it. But I think you've really got to study up about these people, listen to them, and you know, make your wise choices. So that's kind of how I look at it. But again, remember, I'm a person that couldn't get any endorsements the first time I ran and lost. You know, because the first time I ran, I lost, and then the second time I ran, it seems like people came out of the woodwork to want to help and endorse me. And you know, I just find it all fascinating.
Well, I think it's fascinating that you weren't afraid to pull yourself up by the old bootstraps and go again, because I know that it's, you know, there's a sense of pride that gets hit a little bit when you run for an office and you don't get it, you know.
I think the greatest learning experience I've had is just, you know, if you can just kind of keep your ego out of the way. I mean,
right.
I think a lot of people don't realize that people in political offices, I mean, they're just like everybody else. They have their insecurities, and even when they don't talk like they do, the ones who talk more like they don't probably have the most.
I agree with that.
The ones that you find that just quietly go about their job, don't really worry about making a big deal about it or who gets credit. Those are the people I think that you really look to. And sadly, I mean, the legislature's going to lose some really talented individuals. You know, Zach Taylor is not going to run for the Senate seat again. And he has an energy, oil and gas background. I find him to be he's a great listener. He analyzes things. He's a good collaborator. Then you're going to see Senator James Lee Wright. He's also not going to run. And then Representative Gary Mize. I mean, these are just a few, but there's some. And it's, we're fortunate there's some talented people that decided to run again.
Right.
But those three kind of stand out to me as people who are easy to communicate with, good listeners, willing to dialogue. And they just do really incredible things and don't really worry about getting the credit or making a big deal about it. You just got to really appreciate people like that.
I totally do. And can you stick around? I want to talk to you about drilling permits, some of those kind of things like that, as we continue our visit. Are you good to go?
As long as my phone doesn't seek renewal again, I think we'll be in
Well, if it does, we'll try to resurrect it. How's that? We'll be back.
That sounds great. That sounds great.
We'll be back with more Oklahoma Corporation Commission Chairwoman Dana Murphy as our continuation coverage on Monday will be after this.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
Could you use up to $7,500 to jumpstart your future? The people of Oklahoma Oil and Natural Gas are looking for the next generation of game changers who will find new and more efficient ways to produce the energy that fuels our life. That's why they're providing scholarships to students interested in pursuing a degree in the oil and natural gas industry. They need your energy. If you want to be the future of energy, visit oerb.com/scholarships to apply today.
today. The way people move is Buick Specialty, featuring the latest technology and craftsmanship. After all, it's been on the move for over a century for people on the go. Made for today's family. The new 2022 Buick Enclaves, Envisions, and Encores are here at Cummins Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. Don't miss out. They're ready to move and priced to sell. Cummins Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, just off I-40 and Airport Road in Weatherford. Or shop us at CumminsBPG.com. Experience the new Buick.
The AMA has connected hearing loss to both Alzheimer's and dementia. They're not saying the cause, they're saying it's a contributor. Hearing loss is a contributor to both Alzheimer's and dementia. If you procrastinate and put it off and put it off and put it off, based on horror stories you've heard, or Fred didn't like his hearing aids, so I probably wouldn't like mine, then you're only hurting yourself. The physiological is the physical disability. The neurological is the brain. When the neurological is worse than the physiological, it's tough. My name is Clint Higginbotham. I'm a certified hearing aid specialist with Caring Hearing Aid Services. Our Elk City location is inside Dr. Perkins' office at 601 West 3rd. The phone number is 821-2299. The Clinton location is about 50 feet north of Mazio's, 1906 Gary Boulevard. The phone number there is 275-2904. Try hearing better and try having more fun.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
DCP Services LLC offers fully insured contract pumpers, roustabout service, including backhoes, tractors, forklifts, mowing, trenching. Their field techs have over 80 years of combined experience, and they rebuild Chemray valves and controls, plus rebuild Western Chemical pumps to like new. And they sell and repair Texam solar pumps, other solar pumps, and their wireline division, both braid and slickline capabilities. For these services, call Jeff Davis, 580-660-0501, or Butch Black, 580-303-1886. Yes, he does have a day job. This is it. And since all the major supply stores have all but pulled out, DCP has a full-service supply store for pipe, valves, and fittings. Geared toward pipeline processing and production, located at 317 North Van Buren here in Elk City. Call Ernie Barker, 580-339-1773. 339-1773. And David A. Guest, Certified Mineral Manager. Great sponsor of the show, great man. Buyer of royalties from estates, probates, trusts, and bankruptcies. David's a trusted source for mineral management, well over 35 years in the business. I promise you, he'll treat you fairly and he'll treat you squarely. Call David A. Guest today, 405-341-8698. 405-341-8698. David Guest is he's the real deal, no doubt about it. Let's go back to another real deal. Pretty this show up, smarten it up in a hurry, and it's easy to do with one person here. Dana Murphy, getting both of those things done for us. Dana, we were visiting with you, and I'd ask you about the intents to drill, the drilling permits. It seems like Oklahoma did add one on the Baker Hughes rig count, over half a hundred rigs now drilling in Oklahoma. So how are you seeing what's the future holds?
Well, I really think this increased activity is going to, you know, continue. If you just look at the past month or so, and again, you know, intents to drill are the permits that you file ahead of drilling. That doesn't mean a well will definitely be drilled, but it's the indicator. It's the forecaster of what's to come. And so what we've been seeing probably, I would say an average of the past 4 weeks, you're probably looking in about that 35 permits to drill a week, which is, you know, radically different than what we've talked about before. But I think the thing that you're seeing is still a lot of vertical drilling,
right?
And then some people are going back to maybe horizontal wells that they drilled to recomplete those. So I think you're going to continue to see activity there. And I did want to mention just briefly one of the things that Senator Taylor, a bill he's running, and I'm pretty sure it's going to pass the legislature and be signed by the governor. Of course, you know, there's no sure thing on legislation, even if it all looks like it's going well. But that would increase the level of surety depending on the number of wells that are operated by an operator. And it's something that's I've proposed changing it for, you know, almost the 14 years I've been here, because it hadn't been changed, and I can't remember, like 50 or 60 years. But the problem is, you know, when we have operators that go out of business, and if all you had to post up was a $25,000 surety and
right.
you operate, say, 50 wells, that really turns into kind of a state liability that other producers, through their taxes, petroleum excise taxes, that are paid not just by producers, but, you know, all royalty owners as well, that money has to be used for that, and it just can't, and sometimes, you know, really keep the pace. So I think it's really laying out more of a framework like other states do to, you know, depending on the number of wells you operate, it kind of scales up for what the amount of surety that you have to put up. And then that really ties back to or ties into, you know, this infrastructure money that will be coming to various producing states to help, you know, plug orphaned wells. And so there's always strings. It's just what I said to you all before with federal money. So it sounds
right.
great that we can get it and look, we're going to have these jobs. And but the strings are always the challenge. And so we are working through that with the Secretary of Energy and Environment through the governor's office on the money that's initially. There's different levels of money because there's different type of grants, but try to get that worked out. And then the other thing I wanted to briefly just mention on the legislative side is I had worked with producers and ran a bill where a statute could be changed that would allow you to get a permit to drill even before an order issues if you've already had your hearing and it's been recommended by the judge and there's no protest, because we were starting to have some issues with processing of the orders, and especially when somebody's in an emergency situation and they have a rig that's ready to go. And, you know, it's a lot of dollars per day that can, you know, be utilized by an operator if you can't get your permit to drill. So the caveat with that changes, that also the wording in the statute would be that ultimately your intent to drill has to match the order that issues. So there's a little bit of a buyer beware type thing. If you're an operator, I mean, you know, you might get your intent to drill, but it's still going to have to follow the parameters of what's set forth in the order. So I don't see everybody running out to do this. Oh, I've had my hearing, and now I just let me scramble and get my permit, because you're better off to have your order. But there's just sometimes circumstances that you just need to have something that gives you some adaptability and flexibility. And the statute limited that, so I'm appreciative to Representative Brad Bowles and Senator Zach Taylor, who authored that, and I worked with producers. I mean, it was really a request of myself, because we've had a lot of issues, various issues at the commission about it. So hopefully it's had some amended language added to it, which is fine, but I think it should pass.
Well, that's awesome. That's good news, because, you know, work smarter, not harder. You know, you gotta, and you know, and if you see something that's broke and you have a probable solution, then you need to offer that up. You know, I think there's a lot of people that keep those to themselves, and when, you know, you gotta share that stuff. You know, and like I said, anybody can complain about something, but you know, hey, bring probable solutions to the table. That means you really care about it, instead of just complaining about it.
Well, so, if it's broke, fix it.
Yeah.
But if it's not broke, leave it alone.
There you go.
I think it's just another tool in the toolbox that can be helpful. And, you know, kind of speaking of tools, I just came back from a
She's talking to us.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a couple tools. I hear you.
I said a couple of tools, not tools.
Oh, okay. Point taken.
You in the fool category.
Okay, okay.
You guys are northwestern Oklahoma, and we don't grow many fools out there.
Oh.
So, I kind of look at it like, I just came back from a conference in New Mexico, and it's mainly tied around utilities, but it was really interesting, and I'm looking more into this, but to see how the federal infrastructure, I mean, there's money is going to be utilized. I mean, there's so much discussion on the telecom side and the rollout of broadband, but I think there's other monies that's available. So other states are actually kind of looking into that. I think the money that comes in for that will go through our legislature and also through the governor's office. But I think there may be some instances where utilities can apply for some of that, where it can be utilized for some things. And that's of keen interest to me, because if somebody is bringing a rate case or some subsequent kind of case, I mean, my question is going to be, you know, did you apply for some federal money? Is there something that you can, you know, do with that? So I think on the utility side, you know, a lot of things happening, whether it's, you know, this federal task force on building a transmission. I mean, right out near my mom's place, probably about two miles or so from our farm and ranch, is a whole new, you know, wind power operation going on. And it's amazing if you've never seen one of these put in. I mean, it takes a lot of land, and a lot of things have to be. I've never seen so much trenching and digging for all these lines, let alone with the poles going up. So I think a lot of things are happening, and I think we just have to be aware, because, you know, renewables right now in our lifetime cannot power everything, because they're just not running all the time. So you're looking at battery storage. I think natural gas is going to be needed still for a long time, and I think it's important that we make the greatest use of our fuel resources and that we have resource adequacy. I think that's important, especially in looking ahead at, you know, weather storms and different types of events like we've experienced.
You know, and I know, speaking of storms, this storm Uri is probably one of the biggest challenges you've faced since you've been a sitting member.
Oh, it's just been, I can't even begin to tell you. It's had it. I mean, I went to the Fort Supply Methodist Church with my mom yesterday for Easter. And one of my moms, you know, my mom's in her early 80s, came up to me and he said, "Gosh, Dana, I'm just so glad you're up there at that corporation commission and you had to make this hard decision about these winter storms." And he goes, "I bet most people don't even understand it. They bet they just think that, oh, the utilities just eat these costs and we shouldn't have to pay for that." But the bottom line is, you know, we had a service, and it's just like all the things that we're buying now cost more. And during that period of time, he said, "So I don't understand all of it, but he said, you know, I know I can trust you, and I know you're going to make the best decision that you could make." And he goes, "Actually, you probably saved us a lot." And so the part that I think is difficult for me, and I've already told you before, one of the most difficult decisions I've ever had to make as a commissioner. And frankly, you know, I talked about it with you all last time, but to get such criticism from a component of people who do not want to look at the facts. I mean, I think you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your version of the facts. And all these people that have come out, I wouldn't say all these people, maybe it's a few people, that just blasting all of this basically baseless and nonsensical stuff. And it's like, you should have come to the case. You should have been involved at the commission, and now that it's pending over at the Supreme Court for these bonds, it's just, let's throw everything in the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Including my friend Commissioner Hyatt. But, you know, the bottom line is, I know who I am. I know I did the best that I knew how to do.
Sure.
And all those criticizing had no options and solutions other than just deny it to the utilities. Okay, and then let's see, what are we going to have? The utility's going under, then we don't have reliability. It's much more complex and much more involved than those who are criticizing really want to take ownership of. And it's been, I won't lie to you guys, it's been incredibly difficult, and it's been really hard, because I thought, I have worked so hard on this, and of all the difficult options, this is what I thought was the best. This is what the case that was made. If another commissioner had some great, wonderful idea, why did he never present it where it could stand up to the test of scrutiny?
Right.
He just didn't do it. So it somehow lets just undermine everyone else who stood up to make a hard decision and be counted. And that's what I take issue with, and I don't have a problem with talking to people about it, because it's just, I find it just so, it's kind of discouraging in some ways, and I'm glad that so many people have decided to run for office, because the job is hard enough, let alone being impugned by your own colleagues.
You know, and hopefully what you guys have done here will help pave the way in the future if it happens again.
what I'm really hopeful of this time is that, you know, really we've been on the utilities about better planning, better communication, putting more gas in storage. I mean, some of the utilities, I can already tell you, they've already made those plans for that. They've gone out with requests for proposals for greater storage, looking at hedging. There's multiple things that the utilities are working on because, you know, hopefully this issue of securitization won't be have to be utilized again, that other things can be in place. And we never had the ability to plan for some 500-year storm. Now it's in our model of planning. It's kind of back to the when you know better, you can do better. We didn't have that on the radar screen as something that could happen with this wide a swath over across so many states. So I think the moves in transmission, the regional transmission organizations working better together. You've seen a lot of changes made in Texas. So I think things are happening, and all I can say to the public and to the customers is, you know, we're on this. I'm planning to have another several meetings in the coming months about what the status is of where things are with some of these reports. And I also want to know about this infrastructure money. Are there some things that can be utilized or done with this money? So I think there's a lot happening, and I don't get consumed with people trying to criticize me or undermine me. I stay true to the focus of trying to do what is best and trying to serve people in the best way I know, and that just comes with some lumps and bumps along the way. But I'm just grateful, you know, that I feel like the way I was raised and where I came from and what I believe is true and right, I will stand up and I will take the heat for that, and I always have. And, you know, again, it's just been my honor and privilege and pleasure to serve. It's definitely not for the faint of heart. And I haven't lost my, you know, and I think you guys can tell, I have not lost my zest and passion and energy for this job and the good work that the commission does. But I always believe in my heart, you bring who you are to whatever work you do. And that's my commitment, whether I'm helping at the ranch or doing the commission work, or, you know, I'm serving on the Salvation Army Board, or all these different things I do. That's how I look at it, and that's how I live my life. And when you kind of live your life like that, it kind of makes it a little easier to take the slings and arrows, although it's a little challenging when you get them from the front and from the back.
Yeah. I mean, reputation is what other people think about you. Character is who you are, and we appreciate what you bring to this seat and to the show, young lady. Ever since we first met you up at the Woodward Expo, you know, it was the Tri-State Oil and Gas Convention. It's been a wonderful relationship since, and we really appreciate your taking time out to visit with us. It's generally on a holiday. It's really weird like that. But, again, you have a blessed day. And if people want to keep informed or to reach out to you, what's the very best way, Dana?
They can call my office number, 405-521-2267. Or they can reach me at, if you just go to OCC eWeb, you can find my contact and reach me there. I would give the caveat, if you want to talk to me about the people running for office or hit my fall job, it'd be best to call the office, and then I can call you back, because I feel most appropriate to do it at a different place than in the office.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. That's that character. Who are you when nobody's looking? That's what I'm talking about. Dana, have a blessed day. Thank you so much, and looking forward to next month already.
Hey, I appreciate you guys so much. And when I look around and I think about, you know, just the friends and wonderful people I've met, it's right back at you too, guys, because I appreciate what you do and how you keep people informed. And I think we just, you know, love our state so much and love this energy industry. And I just, I feel so good being able to talk with you all on the radio, and I think you can tell. I feel like it's always just a conversation.
Sure.
And I'm just so grateful for that. So that's one of the side benefits, or one of the main benefits of this job, is the incredible people that I've gotten to meet. And I would count the two two of you guys in that group.
Even Butch? Weird. Dana, have a great day. Thanks again so much.
Thanks, Dana.
We'll be praying for you, girl.
Okay, you guys take care.
You bet. Dana Murphy, Oklahoma Corporation Commission. Here we go.
With Sean and Butch.
When you're producing a well or bringing a well in order to move fluids around on that job site, they hook up high-pressure flow iron pipe. When they do that, it can go up to pressure as high as 15,000 pounds. So what we do is we take that iron once a year, and we do an annual inspection on it, a visual inspection, a UT inspection, pressure test, and then we band it and hold on to the certifications during that annual period. What I'd like to do is I'd like to offer 50 pieces inspected for free on the first job that you call us out on. That's probably going to be around, depending on the pieces of iron, it's going to be between a $1,500 and $2,000 discount. Safety Flow NDT. Just call me, Dustin Nix. My phone number is 580-383-0136. 383-0136. We'll go to work 24/7. You can call me at any time. If you're in a bind, we'll get a crew out there to get you taken care of.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
Do you want the best for your car? Then fill up with premium at Circle K. Circle K Premium is our best fuel with double the cleaning detergent. Protect your engine from corrosion and damage so it can work at its best. And that, my friend, increases your mileage for more cha-ching in your pocket. Plus, when you fill up with premium at Circle K, you can save up to 20 cents per gallon. Offer valid Thursdays or Fridays at participating stores. For details, visit CircleK.com. Circle K. How convenient.
Let's talk choices. Today at Galleria, the choice is yours. 15% off or 48 months financing. You get the idea. That is 15% off all furniture purchases, 15% off all living room furniture and dining room sets, 15% off all bedroom sets and mattresses, save 15% off all furniture, or choose 48 months financing. It's good to have choices. Come make yours and save today only at Galleria Furniture, Mattress and Appliance Outlet in Elk City. Remember, friends don't let friends pay retail.
Sean Wilson and Butch Black with the Exploring Energy Show return now.
Oh, yes. Bird Equipment, they're hiring. They've got several positions open for welders and pipe fitters. They're hiring for both their Burns Flat and Noble, Oklahoma facilities. Immediate openings. Starting pay is between $15 to $22 an hour based on your experience. Pipe fitters, pressure, vessel, and pipe code and non-code welders are what they're looking for. Bird Equipment offers health insurance, vision, dental coverage, paid vacation, and 401. That's what they're offering. Apply in person at the Bird Equipment office, 701 Dispensary Road in Burns Flat, on the old Clinton Sherman Air Base. Call 580-562-3124 for details. That number, 562-3124. Go join the busy Bird Equipment team. Bird Equipment is an equal opportunity employer. Tell them we sent you. And Safety Flow NDT, 10,000 pounds of pressure on a pipe is extremely dangerous. There's a lot of safety implications. So who's inspecting your flow iron? Whoever it is, they need to know what they're doing. Their certifications need to be up to date. Their people need to be trained really well to have the right equipment. That's the safety end of it. Dustin Nix at Safety Flow NDT has been doing it for 15 years. He's still offering that $1,500 to $2,000 savings. He'll inspect the first 50 pieces of pipe on the first job you order for free. Call Dustin Nix today. Safety Flow NDT, 580-383-0136. 383-0136. Okay, what you got over there for us, Bunch?
Well, the Biden administration is dramatically curtailing U.S. public land available for new oil and gas development.
Nice.
As it seeks to impose more environmental protections and financial limitations on the activity, the shift is part of the Bureau of Land Management's plan to resume selling drilling rights on government-managed federal lands concentrated in the western U.S. When the government holds those auctions expected later this year, roughly 80% less land will be available for oil and gas leasing at an extremely higher price, I guarantee you.
I promise you.
Energy companies will also be forced to pay higher royalties for the oil and gas they extract from the newly leased land. It says, for too long, the federal oil and gas leasing programs have prioritized the wants of extractive industries above local communities, the natural environment, the impact on our air and water, the needs of tribal nations, and moreover, other uses of our shared public lands. That's according to Deb Holland, who can't even tell you how much oil we use in a day. Today, we begin to reset how and what we consider to be the highest and best use of America's resources for the benefit. You haven't looked after the welfare of this nation since any of y'all have been in office, so I'm not even going to.
There you go. Well, here's some energy news in my brief. The Supreme Court is on the verge of restricting the Environmental Protection Agency's ability to limit carbon dioxide emissions from power plants. The court's conservative majority appears likely to side with Republican-controlled states and coal companies in West Virginia versus EPA, which for the court heard oral arguments on February 28th and expect to issue a ruling sometime in June. Louisiana's Republican Attorney General Jeff Landry said that he plans to ask the Supreme Court to stop the Brandon administration from using a key metric in climate regulation. Natural gas prices hit a fresh 13-year and closed on the, well, highs, foreshadowing higher prices. Target resistance is seen near the July 2008 highs of $13.68. Support is seen near the 10-day moving average at about $6.20. Wind power made a huge milestone in March as it produced more electricity than both coal and nuclear energy for the first time ever in U.S. history. And BMW Chief Executive Officer Oliver Zipse said companies must be careful not to become too dependent on a select few countries by focusing only on electric vehicles, adding that there is still a market for combustion engine cars.
Good for him.
That a kid. New York Attorney General Letitia James is investigating whether the oil industry has engaged in price gouging. A representative from her office said on Thursday. Got nothing better to do, I guess. CF Industries Holdings said reductions in rail service along Union Pacific Corp lines will delay fertilizer shipments in parts of the U.S., threatening to reduce supply for farmers during the planting season. And finally, the top U.S. liquefied natural gas producer, Cheniere Energy, on Thursday said surging U.S. natural gas prices reflect past underinvestments, followed by a demand shock as Europe seeks to wean itself from Russian gas.
There you go.
And that high prices will spur more production that will benefit consumers.
Mm-hmm. It will.
I agree with that.
Right now, it's 39 degrees outside. Humidity's at 93%. Winds are not applicable. Dew points at 37. Today's going to be sunny with a high near 67. North-northwest winds 10 to 14. Gusts to 21. Tuesday, a slight chance of showers and a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 69, windy with a south wind 13 to 18, increasing 20 to 25 in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 36. Chances of precip, 30%.
Need it.
Yep. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 91, south wind 13 to 22, becoming northwest in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 31. Thursday, sunny with a high near 92. Friday, we got a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1. Mostly sunny with a high near 88 and windy. Saturday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. And Sunday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny, high near 78. Mm. We got a 40% chance Friday night. So
come
hopefully
on.
We'll get some rain. Stocks are just, I mean, jumping all over the board. AEP is down 8 cents, 101.96. Apache's up 90 to 44.58. Chesapeake's up 319, 97.55. Continental Resources up 81, 66.26. ConocoPhillips is up $2.07 to 103.44. Devon's up $1.35, 63.93. GE is down 9 to 90.74. Halliburton's up 121 to 41.96. H&P is up 111 to 49.98. Liberty Oilfield's up 84 to 17.86. Laredo Petroleum's up 426 to 88.08. Magellan Midstream is up 59 to 51.40. OG&E is up a nickel, 41.68. One Oak is up 90 cents to 72.20. Panhandle Minerals is up 18 to 374. Phillips 66 is up 70 to 8355. Sandridge is up 68 to 1951. Schlumberger is up 87 to 4412. And the Williams Company is up 2 pennies to 35.54.
West Texas Intermediate at $1.70 up to 108.65 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Brent Crude Oil Ice Futures Exchange up $1.82 to 113.52. NYMEX Natural Gas up 34 cents, $7.64 per million BTU. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. We appreciate Dana Murphy for joining us today. I'm going to try to set up a poll, Michael Wiebe, the professor, sometime this week as well. So lots planned. Thanks for being here. For all of our great sponsors in Butch Black, I'm Sean Wilson. Thanks for listening. I promise we'll talk again. You're tuned to 96.5 KECO in Elk City. Have yourself a great day.